Anyone else? Quite frankly, I could kind of get used to this testimony stuff going on. It doesn't hurt my feelings a bit. I know it doesn't hurt God's feeling any. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 this morning. As we go a little further in this journey of following Jesus, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And while you turn there, I need to tell you a little story that kind of fits in with this whole thing. Back in the summer of 1988, now, yeah, some of you looked at me like, when? Back in the summer of 1988, I had just finished my two-week annual training with the National Guard. I'd spent 2 weeks operating heavy equipment, working in Jefferson City, Missouri, on a special project that the National Guard had. I'd been operating bulldozers and scrapers for 10, 12 hours a day for 2 weeks straight. It was time for us to go home. We left Jefferson City and went back to a place called Camp Clark, Missouri, which is in southern Missouri, right on Highway 71, down in the heart of the Ozarks. And that was where I would meet up with the rest of my company before we made our way back to Macon, Missouri. And we were tired. We'd all been working those 2 weeks, and we got all of our stuff loaded up, and we got in one of those big things that you used to see quite a bit. I don't know how many of you have ever seen those military convoys driving down the road. Yeah, I was in one of those. And we got everything loaded up, got ready to get on the road, and we got in our lineup, and everybody knew who they were supposed to follow. Everybody knew the protocol for all of that. And the guy that was driving my truck that I was in was a guy named Randy Watts. We'd graduated from high school together. We went to Kansas City together. We signed up together for the National Guard. And he was going to start off the journey driving, and that meant I was his co-pilot, or assistant driver was the official term in the military. And we got everything loaded up, and we were finally headed home. It was a hot summer day, and I did what they told us not to do when we were supposed to be assistant drivers. I went to sleep. Here's the deal. You're in a great big long convoy of ugly green camouflage trucks. What's the worst that could possibly happen? So I thought, well, we're safe. I'm going to go to sleep. All we got to do is follow the truck in front of us. Well, here's what I didn't know. Our truck didn't go quite as fast as the trucks in front of us. And over the course of time, we were headed four-lane Highway 71, headed north up to Kansas City, where we would then connect with Interstate 70 and go across and then make our way back up to Macon, Missouri. And I went to sleep. I was tired. Figured I'm going to get some rest before I have to drive this thing. So I don't know how long we'd been on the road. Next thing I know, all I know is all of a sudden, Randy's slapping me on the leg and waking me up, and he says, "Hey." I said, "What?" He said, "Are we on the right road?" "Really, Randy? What? How can we not be on the right road? You follow?" And then I looked up. I didn't see a truck. I said, "Well, where are all the other trucks?" He goes, "I don't know. We got behind them. We can't keep up with them." I said, "Well, have we passed this exit yet?" He goes, "I don't know." "Okay. Well, we didn't make our turn. We missed a turn. And we went up into a part of Kansas City that you don't necessarily want to be a part of. And here we were. Not necessarily lost, but separated from the rest of our group." His question to me is a question that I want to ask you this morning in a spiritual sense. Are we on the right road? Are we on the right road? Look at Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Father, this is your word, and I just ask you to use it and bless it in the next few minutes for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Are we on the right road? Well, the first thing I want to do is tell you this morning, in this road, in this journey of life, there are two roads. There are two roads. There's the wide and broad road, and there's the straight and narrow road. Now, I'm going to describe these to you a little bit more in just a few minutes, but before we do that, Steve's going to show a video that helps me illustrate this point this morning, so let's watch together.
David, right down the middle, you got this.
All right, set it again.
Sorry, coach.
David, listen, son. You act like you're going to miss before you even kick the ball. See, we're going to have to change your whole kicking philosophy. Now, see, you kicking wide left or wide right. But that ain't what's going to get you home. The ball has got to go through the middle.
I know, coach.
No, no, you don't. Now, what does Scripture say about this? Scripture says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there'll be, they'll find it. Not to us. That's wide left and wide right.
Wow.
But narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life. And few there'll be that find it.
Wow.
Anybody can kick it wide left or wide right. My mama can kick it wide left and wide right. But that ain't what's gonna get you home.
Come on.
It don't have to look pretty. It don't have to look smooth. It can look like a dying duck. But the ball has got to go through the middle.
Oh, my word.
Now, David, you're going to have to choose a narrow way, because that's the only path where you'll get your reward. Now, send this ball through these pearly posts. Say it one more time for me, Jonathan.
David, I've never heard it that way before, but there's a lot of truth to what he's saying. See you kick it.
I'm talking about
two roads. There's the wide road, wide left, wide right, or there's the straight and narrow road. Now I want us to think about these roads together for a few minutes. I want to think about the way the Bible describes these. There's a description that we find here. One road is broad. Well, what does that mean? It says the gate to that road is wide. You know, there are a lot of people who enter through that gate. There are a lot of people who are going to walk that road. There are a lot of people walking that road today. Why? Well, the description would tell us perhaps that that road is easy. The description would tell us that it's easy to find. It's easy to get on. It's easy to stay on. Why? Because it's really wide. It's kind of hard to miss. I used to drive semi a lot. And I first started driving semi trucks when my dad owned his own dozer business, and we were working for a lot of farmers, and I would load that bulldozer on the back of that lowboy, and I'd get in that semi truck, and I'd take off and go wherever our next job was supposed to be. Now, this is a farming area. You know some gates are wider than others, right? There were some gates that I just loved. I said, oh, this is going to be easy. There were some gates I looked at and I said, I'm supposed to take this through that. Okay, let's see how it works. Some roads are easier than others. There's the broad way. It's easy, and because it's easy, the road is popular. Because it's easy, there are a lot of people traveling on that road. Some have even called this road and lifestyle the Broadway Christianity, but we have to remember this. No true level of greatness comes from something that's really, really easy. there's a wide road. And I'm not as old as some of you. I'm older than some. But in my lifetime of 48, almost 49 years, I can't remember a time where I've seen and witnessed a culture where we have more people walking on and advertising and traveling the wide road. Everybody wants to be there. We want to travel that road because it's easy. We want to travel that road because there's not a lot of resistance to it. But Jesus tells us what? Enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. So here's the other part of that description. One road is broad, one road is narrow. And the gate that leads to that road is narrow. There will be few that find and travel this road. It's not going to be nearly as busy as the wide road. It's not going to be nearly as busy as the broad road. There will be few that enter. There will be few that find it. The description would indicate that it's a little bit more difficult road. This description would indicate that it's maybe not as popular of a road. Finding this road doesn't seem as easy, though it's easier than we think. See, it's not really that hard to find the narrow road. It's not really that hard to find the narrow gate and enter through it if that's what we really desire. It's not as easy to get on this road. There are some requirements. You have to have a desire. You must be have the discipline to stay on this road once you get on it. It's not the easy way. It's not the broad way. It's what the old timers call the straight and narrow. But we shouldn't let that scare us. You see, people think, oh, well, you're going to be all seclusive and you're going to be all intolerant and you're going to be all this. No. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It just has to do with finding what God wants us to do and who God wants us to be, and then we get on the road that takes us there. It's a straight and narrow road, but we shouldn't let that scare us. So the Bible describes these two roads that we find in life. You say, well, there are a lot of roads in life. Yeah, there are. But when it comes to heaven and hell, there are two roads. When it comes to eternity, there are two roads. We're either walking with Jesus or we're walking against Him. And that's why I think this is an important message as we look at this journey of following Jesus. Now, in today's world, when we get in our car to go somewhere, when we start mapping out a trip, we get all these little fancy gadgets out. We'll get our phone out, and we'll get all these other things out, and we'll look and say, I'm going from here's point A, here's point B, and that map might show me three or four different ways to get there. And it lets me choose which one I go on. There might be some detours along the road of life. There might be some stops along the way that you take that I might not take, that I take that you might not take. Bottom line is this, when we're talking about eternity, when we're talking about our spiritual journey with Christ, there are two roads. There's the broad way and the straight and narrow. Well, the other thing I find about this road is there's a destination. Both of the roads described in Scripture this morning end up in one destination or another. The broad road leads to death. The easy road leads to destruction or hell, depending on which Bible translation you use. I know we don't hear that word a lot anymore, do we? It's not politically correct even in the church anymore. Quite frankly, I don't really care. I'd rather be scripturally correct than politically correct. I still believe there's a heaven and I still believe there's a hell. I still believe heaven is eternity with Jesus and I still believe hell is eternity without Jesus. I still believe heaven's going to be a whole lot more appealing and a lot better than hell. And I still believe that at the end of this life, when we're called home, when our time on this earth is done, and we're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. That's not a popular message today, but I'm not trying to be popular. My job is to preach the word. The broad road may sound good. It might look good in the here and now, but the final destination is not where we want to end up. Because it leads to an eternity without Christ. The narrow road is just the opposite. It leads to life. It leads us to eternity with God. It might not look as appealing. It might not be as pretty. It might not have all the frills and all the bells and whistles and all the things that the world has to offer. It may not look as fun. It might not look as satisfying. It may not look as easy. But the final destination is what we have to be focused on. We need to live this life with eternity in mind. Where am I going to spend eternity when I leave this world? There's a destination. And then along the line of these two roads of life, if we're not careful, we can fall into what I call a deception. What I call a deception, you know what? Roads can sometimes be deceiving. Sometimes they can be deceiving. They might seem to take us where we want to go. But I want to focus on that word seem for a moment. The roads might seem to take us where we want to go. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 talks about this. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 talks about this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, what makes a road seem right? Have you ever been out just driving around and think, well, I'm not sure exactly where I am, but it seems to me that since I know I need to go this direction, it seems to me that this road probably connects with another road, and it seems to me that if I get on this road, I can eventually get where I want to go. Around this area, you know, I've kind of learned it. All these, I can get, if I'm on Highway 20, I can get off of Highway 20 on a lot of different roads and still end up on 250. You can do that. I grew up in the country, ladies and gentlemen. I kind of learned that if you can kind of get your bearings straight on which direction you're going and which direction you want to go, there's got somewhere along the line, there's going to be a road that connects those two. And if I'm out driving by myself sometimes, I'll experiment with that. Because then I don't have to worry about someone saying, are we lost? Do you know where you're going? Because I don't always know where I'm going, but it seems to me that if I maybe get on this road and go that direction, eventually I'm going to find a way to get where I need to go. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. What makes a way seem right? Well, it might seem to us that if I travel this road, it's going to lead to me being more popular. If I get on this road, if I walk this way, it might make me more popular with my friends, with my coworkers, with my schoolmates, with my fellow pastors. So we might want to get on a road because it would seem to us that if we walk that road, it would lead to popularity. A road might seem right because it looks like it might lead to success, depending on what your vision and idea and definition of success is. Through my junior high and even part of my high school years, I was convinced I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an attorney. You know why I wanted to be an attorney? Because I watched all these shows on TV where lawyers were really, really rich and all they had to do was go in court for like 30 minutes or however long it took to film that episode and everything was right with the world. I watched movies where lawyers drive all the fancy sports cars and all that kind of stuff and I thought, man. But that wasn't what God wanted me to do. To me, in my mind back then, that would have been success. I remember riding the school bus. My cousin and I rode the school bus together, and we'd ride along, and we'd see these We'd see these neat cars sitting in someone's driveway and say, man, one of these days I'm going to have a car like that. If I have a car like that, man, I'm successful. What is our idea of success? And maybe we travel the road we travel because it seems like that road might lead me to success. The road might seem right because of some of the other people that we see walking on it. Did I really just say that? Yeah, I did. Well, so-and-so is doing this, so it must be okay. I saw this person I go to church with at this place the other day, so it must not really be that bad. You see, sometimes we can get our eyes on other people and what they're doing and how they're living and where they're going, and we can think, well, that person's a Christian. Maybe it's okay for me to be on that road. Maybe it's okay for me to follow that direction. A road might seem right because we've compromised beliefs. It might seem right because we've compromised our beliefs. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves looking back and thinking, you know what? 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have never been able to see myself doing this or being in this place. What's happened? Why am I here? How did I allow myself to get here? We allow ourselves to get in those situations because somewhere along the line, we've veered off of the right road and we've not gotten back on it. Here's my question. How many people will end up in hell because the way seemed right? How many people will end up spending eternity without God because of the way seemed right for one of these or who knows whatever kind of reasons? Well, I thought it would be okay. It seemed like he would be okay. There are two roads. We have to travel one. Which brings me to point number two. The road that we travel is a choice. The road we travel is a choice. Now, some modern day, everyday illustration might be this. But what if poor Lexi's in the car with, might not be Lexi's choice. Because she's riding with Dad. Or she's riding with Mom. Makes it pretty important that Mom and Dad are on the right road, doesn't it, if we're taking our kids there with us? The road we travel is a choice. We choose which road we take. We don't end up on either road by accident. I told you, you know what, type in your little GPS. I've chosen to go this way. I've chosen to get on this road. But why do we choose a road? What factors go into the decision-making process when we choose a road we're going to travel? I love Brother Eldon's little catchphrase about going from here to Olivet. There's no good way to Bourbonnais. I think every time we've gone out there, we've gone a different way, and we've not found a good way yet. But we get on our little GPS and we think, well, let's try this route. So that way, if I'm going on this route, I know I have to stay on this road until this exit. I get off and I go on this road, and then we should end up here. But we travel those roads because that's the direction we chose to take when we left home. I'm sorry, but I've got this thing stuck in my mind about that goofy commercial that's on now with the penguins. Can't even remember what product they advertise, but have you seen the commercial where the penguins are on their migration and the two of them are off by themselves, you know? And they got their little GPS, oh, recalibrating, turn around, like, oh, nope, I'm following my instincts, that's what I'm following. We have to choose a road. or we let someone else choose it for us. Why do we choose the road? Do we choose it because of what it looks like? Do we choose that road because it looks cool? Do we choose that road because it seems to be the fastest, the straightest? My dad chose all the back roads. My dad was a farmer. My dad figured it didn't matter where we were going. If he took the back road, there was probably a farmer somewhere along the way that had a tractor or a truck for sale or something. You know, he drove through all the back roads. He wanted to see the country. That's why my dad chose the roads that he chose. Besides, he didn't like being on the interstate. He just didn't like that much traffic. Do we choose a road because of what it seems? Once again, there's that word, because of what it seems to have to offer us. Do we choose a road and then just accept whatever destination it takes us to? Maybe you've done this. We had some neighbors. They've actually been here to visit us a couple times. There were neighbors across the street from us when we lived in Champaign, Illinois. Scott and Carol, they were going on a vacation one year, and I said, "We're going." They said, "Oh, we don't really know yet." Kind of a mystery vacation. They took time off. They knew how much time they had to be gone, and they just left. And they said, "Okay, we think we'll start here." And they drove. So they drove to a certain point one day, and the next day they went somewhere. They called it their mystery vacation. Maybe that's how you choose to travel, how you choose to do vacations. But do we just get on a road and accept whatever destination it takes us to? Or do we choose a destination that we want to go to and then get on the road that takes us where we want to go? What factors do we think about when we're choosing which road we're going to travel? I'm a cheapskate. I don't like toll roads. I just don't like them. I tell Emily, or I'll ask Glenda when we're going to go somewhere, I said, find some way that avoids toll roads. It's just a matter of principle for me. I don't like paying taxes to provide for roads and then having to pay to drive on the roads. What do we think about? How do we choose which road we're going to travel? Let me read something to you. I'm sure you've probably read before. And I'm sure you've probably heard it before. But it talks about this, how we choose which road we're going to go on. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. You say, that's not a religious poem. I'm not saying it's a religious poem, but it has a pretty incredible message to it. I chose the road less traveled, and it has made all the difference. How do we choose which road we're going to travel? And back to my original question. Are we on the right road? Are we on the right road? Well, here's my final point in closing. It's never too late to get on the right road. As long as there is breath in your body and you have the ability to make a conscious decision, it's never too late to get on the right road. I'm going to take you back to my story. Randy and I are now separated from the rest of the convoy. We've ended up in southern Kansas City. Randy's freaking out. I'm kind of freaking out. And I'm going to prove a lot of people in this room wrong when they say men never ask for directions. I said, Randy, we're not going to drive around in circles. We've got a rest of a group that's probably trying to figure out where we are. I said, pull in this gas station. He pulled in the gas station. I said, you stay here with the truck. I'll go in. And I went in and I said, look. I said, I need the fastest way to get back out to the interstate. I need I-70 headed east to Columbia. Gas station attendant gave me like, we weren't very far. I mean, we hadn't gotten that far off the route. And he gave me some specific directions. I got back in the truck. I told Randy, turn left, turn right, go down this way. And we were on the interstate and headed back. On our way there, we met another military vehicle from our convoy headed towards us on the other side of Interstate 70, traveling at way too high rate of speed because they were trying to figure out where we were. We got reunited with the convoy. We explained what happened, used it as a learning experience, and moved on and made our destination back home. You see, it's never too late to get on the right road. How do we do that? Well, first we have to realize we're on the wrong road. We have to realize we're not going the direction that we wanted to go. We have to figure out where the right road is. And if we need to, we get directions on how to get back to that right road. And then we continue on our journey to reach our desired destination. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just encourage you to do something? I kind of touched on this in Sunday school this morning. I grew up with this mentality of God that I've told you before, a lot of performance orientation. I felt like every time I messed up, I had completely lost out with God, and I'd completely backslid, and I had no hope. I viewed God as some kind of cosmic police officer up in heaven with his oversized billy club or baton, and every time Francis Warren messed up, he just thumped me over the head. That was how I viewed God for a long time. But you know what? Here's the truth. God wants us to be on the right road more than we want to be on the right road. It's His desire for us. It is not the will of the Father. It's not God's will that any of us should be lost or should perish, but all should come to repentance. And let me just tell you this, if you've been on the right road and strayed off, don't give up all hope. All you really have to do is find the right road and ask for directions. Get back on it. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask God to help you not to get off of that road again and continue your journey. Don't let Satan pull out his bag of lies that he used on me for a long, long time, saying, see that? You messed up again. You're not good enough. Just throw in the towel. Just give it up. Be done with it. Don't fall for that. Because it's not the truth, and it's not what God wants for us. We have to get back on the right road and then continue the journey until we get to our desired destination. So what is that? What's your desired destination? Are you on the right road to reach that destination? And if you're not, then what are you going to do about it? Are you ready to find direction? Are you ready to get back on the right road and continue following Jesus? You can. Next week, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk about what it means. How do I get on the right road to begin with? But if you're here this morning and you know that there's something not right in your life, I would encourage you, I would strongly encourage you to take a minute to just pray and ask God. Admit. Say, God, I'm on the wrong road and I know it. But I want to be on the right road. I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. We're not going to take long this morning. I just want you to think about this. But if you're here this morning and you know you're not on the right road, I want you to do more than think about it. I want to give you an opportunity to figure it all out. I want to give you the opportunity to get back on the right road and follow Jesus. So maybe you're here this morning and you tell me, I don't want anybody looking around. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I know I'm not on the right road. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Maybe you're here this morning. You want to pray now. I'd invite you to come. But maybe you would just say, Pastor, I'm dealing with some things. I know things aren't exactly right. Would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand this morning so I can see it and so I know how to pray for you this week? Okay, thank you. I see them. Heavenly Father, today you've seen those who have raised their hands. And Lord, you know everything about them. You know all about their situation. You know all about their life. You know all about where they are on their journey with you. You know that about each and every one of us. So, Father, for those who've been honest enough to raise their hands today, I pray for them and ask you to give them direction. I ask you, Father, to show them the way. And then, Lord, for each and every one of us, I pray that you would help us to do our very best to follow you, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Because, Lord, we know if we keep our eyes fixed on you and if we follow you, you won't lead us in the wrong direction. We can trust you. We can put our faith and confidence completely in you. So, Lord, help us to leave this place today knowing that we're walking on the right road and do our very best to follow you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.